Let us pray. Father God, you and you alone are our source. All things were created by you and for you. There's nothing that we see that has been made that has not been made by you. You spoke, and the worlds came into existence. And we will not confuse resources with you, the source. Because sometimes, Lord, we focus so much on people and things and money, looking for resources to help meet our needs. And we know we need resources. But may we never forget that the resources come from the source. All things come from you. All things go back to you. We humbly bow and acknowledge that fact today, that it is in you that we live and move and have our being. And so we bless you. We honor you. Thank you that we got to participate in what some would call a dress rehearsal for heaven. Because when we get to glory, we will sing the songs of Zion and praise you. And it will really be, amen, it is done. But thank you that we can sing today on credit, knowing that that day is coming. And we praise you now, Lord, knowing that you're good, you're God, and you're everything that we need. Lord, would you help me preach? Would you help me teach? Would you help your people to hear the word and then be doers of the word that we hear? I'm so glad we have help from the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday to remind us that without him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things. So have your way, O God. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth that is contained in it. Thank you that it will not return void. Would you heal those who are hurting in soul, mind, and body? Would you save the lost? Would you build up your body? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles in hand or on your phone, would you turn to the Old Testament book of Genesis chapter 12? Genesis chapter 12. And today I want to speak on a subject that I believe is in tune with what we've experienced today with our graduates who are on their way to their next assignment, their next destination, where seniors will become freshmen again. But this message is not just to encourage them, it's to encourage all of us, because life has a way of making seniors freshmen again. There are things we will face and go through that we've never been through before. And we need the same God who kept us through the last experience that we never experienced before when we were freshmen and rookies to walk us through this season that we're in. I've never been a grandparent before, but I'm about to be one. I'm going to be a rookie. Yeah? I'm going to be a freshman. So I need some of you veterans around here to encourage your brother, because I hear you get hit with a goofy stick. Become goofy. Can I have the goofy grandparents raise their hands? Goofy. Oh, and she stood up. The goofy grandparents. Amen. I see y'all. Isn't it great to see our children graduating? And Deacon Jesse said to me in the back, he said, we've got some really sharp people at this church. Some wonderful accomplishments. So I want to encourage you with the word this morning entitled, Stay in Step. Stay in step. Are y'all praying for your pastor? I hope you're praying for me, because I got to preach this word today. Stay in step. Now, before all of our graduates walk down this aisle, before each one of them came up to this stage to be honored and to be blessed, I want to say to our graduates that this was not the first time you walked. Matter of fact, you would not have been able to walk down this aisle and up this stage today had you not learned how to walk somewhere between the age of 10 months and 18 months in the privacy of your own home with your parents. So before you walked here, you walked there. And they taught you how to walk because when you came out of the womb, Maya and Jonah and everyone else, when you came out of the womb, your parents were excited when you could hold your neck straight on its own. You could sit up. Oh, my baby's sitting up now. And then the baby would crawl on his or her belly. They would crawl. And parents, we're logging all of this progress. And then all of a sudden, you get a walker for your child. And you sit your child in the walker to help teach them how to stand on their own. And some of those walkers have little gadgets all around them, and they're punching the things, and they're bouncing like this. And the next thing you know, the walker gets played out because they want to try to walk and stand on their own. In this day and age, when everything gets filmed, as a parent, you feel bad if you don't film the first steps of your child walking. But it's such a momentous occasion because it's saying, my child is growing up. He or she is walking. And for parents, in the midst of this process of trying to get our children to walk, we are close enough, but far enough. We're close enough to catch them so that they don't fall and hit something. But we're far enough away to let them develop the muscles and the stamina on their own so that they can have this accomplishment of walking. We're close enough, but we're far enough. And every parent knows that in order to walk, there will be some falling down. But I'm close enough to protect you so that you don't hit your head on the corner of a table, but I'm far enough away so that you can develop and grow. Because as a parent, we are raising you up so that you can walk on your own. So dig the symbolism here. As parents, we raise you up to send you out. We raise you up that you might walk naturally so that you might go into the world and have great accomplishments. And when you go to college, down the street to Kentucky University and down the street to Florida A&M. When you go to college, guess what? Your parents are still close enough, but far enough. Close enough when you need to talk. Close enough when you need prayer. Close enough when you need a little bit of cash. But far enough away for you to begin to grow and develop on your own. Close enough, but far enough. You see, our parents raised us to walk on our own, but I'm going somewhere. But God raised us up so that we could walk with Him. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He raised us up that we might walk with Him. Parents raise you up so that you can learn how to walk on your own. And if they've been raising you in the Lord, so that you may walk with God. But they can't make you walk with God. That's each person's choice. God is a God who loves to walk with His children. In Genesis chapter 3, somewhere around verse 8, the Bible talks about God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, walking towards Adam and Eve, who unfortunately had fallen into sin, but God was still walking towards them. Walking towards them speaks of intimacy and fellowship. So even in the midst of their shame, even in the midst of their depravity, God was still walking towards them in the cool of the day. And later in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 24, it talks about a man named Enoch who walked with God for 300 years. He has that distinction of being said that he walked with God. As a matter of fact, verse 24 of Genesis 5 says, "And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him." But he walked with God for 300 years. Is anybody in here walking with God? Because if you're not walking with God, I dare to say you're not walking or living at all. You're missing the purpose for why you, why we were created, and that was to have fellowship with God, to have a relationship with God, to walk with God. God made that possible by getting our sin out of the way through Jesus. Where John the Baptist said, "Behold, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "For God has shown you what is good, that you might do justly, and that you might love mercy, and that you might walk humbly with God." Really, there's no other way to walk with God, because he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. But walking with God is what life is all about. God raises us up so that we might walk with him, not walk on our own. And there is a rhythm of what it means to walk with God. There's a rhythm on how we are to walk with God. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are in agreement?" And the prophet is speaking about the nation of Israel and their relationship with God. How can the nation walk with God if they're not in agreement? They have to be in step with God. They have to be in agreement with God in order to walk well with God. So the prophet is asking that question: how can two, the nation and God, walk together unless they are in agreement? And then Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, here's what Paul said to that church. He says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Keep in step with the Spirit. Pastor Chris, what does that mean, to keep in step with the Spirit? Well, what it means is to keep in step with the Spirit is we must let him lead as we walk with him. To keep in step with the Spirit is to be in unison, in agreement with the Spirit, meaning that I am not running out in front of the Holy Spirit. I am not lagging behind when the Holy Spirit is saying, "Let's go." And neither am I, as Elder Sherman would say, making stuff up as I'm walking with the Holy Spirit. Help me, help me. Stay with me now. Walk in the Spirit. Stay in step with the Spirit. How do I stay in step with the Spirit? It's a rhythm. And I do not try to lead this walk. He leads the walk. I stay in step in agreement with him. I'm not running out in front of him, getting in trouble. I'm not lagging behind because I lack faith, and he's trying to encourage me to step where Jesus stepped, because in 1 John it says that we are to walk even as he walked. It's back to walking, walk, walk, walk. But neither do I want to make stuff up on the walk. All right, somebody said, "Pastor, I need some illustrations on this." Well, I'm glad you asked that, because we're going to look at the life of Abram real quick, because a perfect God had a walk with an imperfect man. And there was a rhythm that they had in this walk. And in this walk that a perfect God had with an imperfect individual, we see two things. God is going to do his part, and he expects for us to do our part in this walk with God, to stay in step with God. God is going to do his part, and he expects us to do our part. So today we're going to see God doing his part. We're going to see Abram doing his part. And as great as Abram is, he's just like us. And there are going to be times he's going to go ahead of God. He's going to lag behind God. And he's going to make stuff up on God. But God in his grace knows how to get wayward believers who've gotten off track, out of step, out of alignment, out of agreement, how to get us back in step. So there's somebody here today, you haven't been walking well with God. You know him, but you've been doing your own thing. He's been trying to encourage you to move forward. You've been lagging behind. You've been making stuff up. You found yourself in some ditches and some pig pens, and the Father still wants to walk with you. Matter of fact, he never stopped. There's an old saying, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? God didn't. We do. But he pursues us, just as he did a fallen, broken, busted, and disgusted Adam and Eve in the garden. He wants to still walk with us in the cool of the day. It's his love that changes us and transforms us and make us want to stay close, even though there's something in us, the sheep syndrome, bah, all we like sheep, bah, have gone astray, bah. But the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. There's something in us, in our depravity, in our humanity. We think we know how to do this thing. But God says, you got to walk with me. Walk with me. And I will show you great and mighty things that you have no idea. So the first point I want you to see from Genesis 12 is God's part. Abram has a part, but first we start with God's part. Why do we start with God's part? Because everything begins with God. We just said he's the source. Everything, everybody comes from him. Everything begins with him. The universe does not center around any of us, but we think it does. We think everything begins with us. No, it begins with God. Last time I checked, no one's name in here is Alpha. But these days, somebody might name their kid Alpha. But let's go on. Everything begins with God and everything depends on God. In the book of Colossians, it says, not only has he created everything, but he holds everything together by the power of his word. Everything depends on God. And then everything ends with God. So we're going to get this right. Our story begins with God. It depends on God. It ends with God. Why? Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's not about us. It's about him. So we're going to get that straight. Help us, God. But in chapter 12, verse 1, do you have it? I gave you time to find Genesis 12. If you're still looking for Genesis 12, we got some work to do. Now the Lord had said to Abram, stop. We see here God is initiating a walk with a man who was an idolater. Because if you go back to chapter 11, he's coming from the Ur of the Chaldees where they worship the moon and all kind of stuff like that. He was out there. Just like you and I were out there, and somebody might be out there right now, but he knows how to find lost folk and lost things and lost coins and lost sheep. He knows how to come to you because he knows we're not going to come to him. We can't approach him. We won't approach him, but for God's will of the world that he sent Jesus to us, and he finds Abram, and he chooses Abram, not because of any good thing that Abram has done, only because of his own mercy did he choose and select Abram. And so he's going to speak to Abram. God speaks. He gives revelation. He speaks and says to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God is saying to this man, I'm not only going to change your life, but I'm going to change the lives of everyone connected to you. Because I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. You do not deserve this, but that's why I'm such a merciful, gracious, and kind God. And so he initiates a walk with this man. And I love how in Genesis 12, 2 through 3, really 1 through 3, you see these I wills of the things that God is saying as he's establishing, as what some deep folks like to say, this is a covenant. This is a binding agreement between God and man that has with it certain benefits and privileges when obeyed. But then there are some harsh repercussions when disobeyed. But there's this covenant that God is going to make with this man, Abram. He's going to change his name to Abraham a little bit later. But this is Abram, exalted father. He'll soon become father of many nations a little bit later. But God chooses this man, and he's going to bless the whole earth through this man, speaking specifically through Jesus. Because Jesus is going to be a descendant of Abraham. And it's through Jesus that the world is truly blessed to be reconciled back to God. So he's speaking. He's saying to this man, he initiates a relationship. He says, I will, I will, I will, I will. And have you ever known God not to do his part? He will stretch us, yes, but he will always do his part. He keeps his word. So when he says, I will bless you, you better believe you will be blessed. So he's initiating the relationship. God makes the first step. Because if you and I made the first step, we try to boast. But nobody in here made the first step because we can't make the first step because we were born dead in our trespasses and in our sins. But Jesus has made us alive through the Holy Spirit. First step, first step. At the men's fire pit the other night, Brother Chris shared his testimony. And in his testimony, he talked about being a basketball player. Where's Chris at? Chris, where you at? There he is. He's like, Pastor, what, come on, man. So one of the things that Chris said is that he had a dangerous first step. Brothers, y'all remember him saying that? His first step. So he was like, man, that first step. And then I said, tell me how you met your wife. And Cherie's not here this morning, probably good. He basically said she made the first step towards him because she saw his legs and how. But anyway, let me keep rolling. Let me keep rolling. But Chris said he's got a monster first step. Jonah, you see that first step, the hesitation, crossover? My goodness. God is the one who got the first step. Oh, my goodness. And talk about a crossover. He's going to bring the crossover so that you can cross back over from death to life. He got the first step up in here. Wouldn't have a relationship. Wouldn't be able to walk with him unless he came to us, to me, to you first. He does his part. Now, here's where it gets shaky. Point number two. Abram's part. Your part. My part. And the proof that we heard from God, because chapter 12, verse 1 says, now the Lord had said to Abram, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And the proof that we heard from God is that we obey him. Okay, I'm not coming through on that. I'm not coming through. Let me say it another way. The proof that we have heard God is that we move. Because faith or hearing the word without action or movement is dead. And God is not talking just to hear himself talk. He's talking expecting to be obeyed because he deserves to be obeyed. And so when I look at verse 4, go to verse 4 with me. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. So God spoke, Abraham moved. God spoke, Abraham obeyed. But for many of us, for me many times, God will speak and I'll hesitate. God will speak and I'll lean on my own understanding. God will speak and I'll say, now wait a minute, Lord, do you actually know all things? God will speak and I'll grieve the Holy Spirit. God will speak and I'll quench the fire that the Holy Spirit wants to start. God will speak and I'll throw it in reverse. But God expects to be obeyed because our relationship with him is by faith. And we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We're to trust God. But sometimes when God speaks, we think we know more than God. But faith is supposed to be in our feet. Our feet tell God how much we trust him. You can tell me all day how much you trust God, but if your feet don't match your talk, you really don't have no walk. Faith is found in our obedience when the feet move. But if the feet ain't moving, if you're not walking in obedience, I got to question whether or not you really know the Father, because how many of us grew up with fathers who, when they spoke, that was it? Or mothers, when they spoke, that was it? You had to obey the first time. There was no choice. Get up and wash those dishes. You got up and washed those dishes. If you didn't get up and wash those dishes, because mama or daddy wasn't going to repeat themselves. They weren't going to try to have a conversation with you to try to get you to agree and understand. No, when they said it, I go, I said what I mean and I mean what I say. You get up and you obey, because if not, there will be some consequences and repercussions. So with God, move. Abraham obeyed. Some blessings are predicated on our obedience. I got to say that again. Some blessings are predicated on our obedience. Because when he says, I will show you a land that you've never seen before, been to before, you've got to start walking towards that land in order for God to show you the land he's talking about. But if you stay where you are in Haran, chapter 11, talking about he called me to go to Canaan, walk by faith, but I ain't going, you're never going to see what he has for you. And a lot of us stay where it's safe, where it's comfortable, where we're in control or we think we are. But some blessings are predicated on us obeying God. In other words, some blessings are conditional upon our obedience. I know we don't like that word conditional because we stay hung up on unconditional. Unconditional love, unconditional unmerited favor. All that's good. But some blessings are contingent and conditional upon whether or not we obey. All right, Pastor, help me out. All right, let me take you back a little bit to a situation in Scripture. The Red Sea. They've come out of Egypt. God has done all these miracles. They're walking towards the promised land. But then they come up against the Red Sea, and then Pharaoh's army is behind them. The people begin to panic. Moses even panics, and he cries out to God. And God says, why are you crying out to me? I already told you the plan, leader. You're going through a trial right now. Trust me, leader. But I tell you what, leader, you lift up your hands in front of that Red Sea and tell the people to start walking. You got to go back to Exodus and check it out. God doesn't part the sea and then they walk. They start walking in obedience by faith, and then God does the hydraulics on the sea. But some of us will not make a move until God moves. And God is like, no, I'm waiting on you to move, and then I'll move. You need more? Okay. The Jordan River. Under Joshua, they had a body of water that was at flood stage. And God says, okay, here's what I want y'all to do. When the priests put their feet in the water, then the water will recede and dry up. And then there's going to be a dry riverbed right there, just like we did with the Red Sea. But the thing didn't happen until they put their feet in that thing. But some of us want to sit on the bank and say, Lord, would you cause the water to stop? Would you make it dry? God's like, no, put your feet in it, because he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. If we really believe him, we'll act. I said before that we walk by faith, not by sight. But sometimes it's like we walk by faith and some reasoning. That don't make sense. That's never been done before. Are you going to trust me? Peter, Lord, is that you out there on the water? Yeah, it's me. Can I come out there, Lord? Mm-hmm. And he stepped out. He could have stayed in the boat with the other 11 who didn't have the faith to step out, but he stepped out and God caught him when he stepped. And then when he looked around, started drowning, Jesus went and lifted him up. When David got out on the battlefield against Goliath, the Bible says Goliath just didn't fall down. No, he was still barking and coming against with complaints and all that. But the Bible says David started running towards him. That's faith in action. And the Bible says when he's running, then he grabs his stone. Like me from Baltimore, I'd have grabbed my stone, then started running. Some of y'all would have grabbed y'all. Yeah. Anyway, so he's running and he has faith, saying that he's big, but God is bigger. He's speaking against the armies of the living God. I'm going in faith as a teenager when the grown men won't go. It's faith, faith. And God guided that rock for him. When it's time to feed the 5,000, Jesus said, I need somebody to give me something to work with. Couldn't find nothing from the adults. Found something from a lad who gave him his lunch. Then Jesus multiplied that. He gave something. He moved by faith. And then when they went up to Lazarus' tomb, oh, Lord, we need you to raise. Well, they weren't even asking to raise Lazarus. They didn't have faith for that. They were like, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, there's a part you guys got to do. Roll the stone away. But, Lord, he stinketh. Leaning on your own understanding. Obey me. But you got to roll the stone away. You do what you do. I'll do what only I can do. I'll raise the dead. Lazarus, come forth. And in our walk with God, we got a part to do. God's got a part to do. So when he says, do something, do it. When he says, give to me at the local church. But God, you don't understand my situation. Give by faith. Trust me. to open up the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out blessings you don't have room enough to receive. But a lot of times, again, we think we know more than God on this kind of stuff. Trust me, our faith grows when it's tested and when it's stretched. God says, when you move, I'll move just like that. When you move, I'll move just like that. A couple years ago, Dorena and I thought we were doing something. We thought we were coming up like George and Wheezy. We bought a motion sensor light for our bedroom to go into the closet. So this is one of those kind of lights that when you walk in there, the light comes on. When you're not walking in there, the light does not come on. So again, we thought we were into something because before you had to flick the switch. Saying that light don't work. That light only works when it senses that I've moved. No, y'all, am I coming through? Is the Spirit of God? When you move, God moves and lights stuff up for you. But a lot of times we won't move because we don't understand the details. God gives us the direction, go here. Don't worry about how you're going to pay it. I know we got to be logical. We got to have a budget. I get all that. But God never calls us to do anything that aligns with our budget 9 times out of 10. That aligns with our bank account. Oh, man. Don't fire me after I preach this message. Don't. That's all right. You can't fire me. My elders are with me. So anyway, he's not going to call us to do something we can do in our own strength. A lot of times he's going to call us to do something that's over our head. That we got to depend on him to provide as the source. But I know you're calling me to go to college. Man, when I went to college, I didn't have a scholarship like our students had. All I had was my earthly father telling me, go to college and trust God. We didn't have any money. I didn't have a scholarship. I said, okay, I'm going to work and get on the football team and earn a scholarship. Homeboy broke his leg. That's when my prayer life began. And then I saw God provide scholarships and open up doors. And I would have never learned that stuff if I hadn't been in a broken state. If I hadn't been in a place where only God could come through. So although I didn't have a lot in my pocket, I was rich in my faith. And I saw God. So you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. Oh, my God. But I got to take you down to verse 5. I got to take it on home now. Verse 5. So in verse 4, it says, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. It's never too old for us, right? Verse 5, then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions and all they had gathered, and the people whom they acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. You got to watch these verbs here. It's all kind of verbs up in here. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem. Then in verse 6, then Canaanites were in the land. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord, built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going still towards the south. All these verbs. God is speaking and promising. Abraham is moving. He's responding. He's walking with God. He's walking in step with God. God is giving the direction. And with each step, more details come. But sometimes we don't like to step until God gives us all the details. But he gives us all the details. Where's the need for faith? Here's the direction, and that brother's moving. He's working. He's building altars. He's praying. He's crying out to God. He's departing. Oh, I thank God. When God speaks, we ought to move. Because more revelation comes, or more light comes, once we start walking. I went to college by faith. I did not want to be a preacher. I did not want to be a pastor. But as I kept walking with God, He ended up calling me to preach his word. I said, okay, Lord, I'll preach, but I don't want to be a pastor. The more I kept walking with God and walking with, more light came, more revelation came, more confirmation came. He started telling me stuff then that I could not hear back then. I could hear a little bit more now because I had learned to walk with him and trust him. And then he said, Pastor, Lord Jesus. But some of us are like, look, I ain't going. But one of my favorite videos, I got to take you back, is Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. They wouldn't play black artists on MTV. Michael said, y'all gonna play me, because I'm gonna make some dynamic videos that tell stories. You've got to play me. David Bowie, a white brother, he said, I'm gonna boycott MTV if y'all don't play Michael Jackson. So they play Michael Jackson, the rest is history, and they come out with Rock With You. Okay, that was cool. But when Billie Jean came, here's what was happening. He was walking down the street, had some black and white Stacy Adams on, had them high leather pants, you could see the socks, high. But every time he stepped, y'all remember this, 80s babies? The street lit up. He took another step, the street lit up. He took another step, the street lit up. He even put his Stacy Adams on a trash can and the trash can lit up. He took a step and the street lit up. He took a step and the street lit up. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Take a step, he'll show you more. Take a step, he'll light it up. But you got to take a step. You got to get out the boat. You got to run towards Goliath. You got to put your feet in the Jordan. You got to start walking towards the Red Sea. I wanted the Lord to light it up, but he says, get to walking. He told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 3, every place your foot steps, I'm going to give to you. And some of us don't have much in the kingdom. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about doing things for the Lord, because we won't step for God. Remember now, to walk with God, we have to be in step with him. He leads. We don't lead. We are in agreement with him. It's a rhythm with him. We do not step out front. We do not lag behind in unbelief. And we don't make stuff up. But Abraham got out of step with God. This gives me hope to let me know I'm not by myself. In verse 10 of chapter 12, it says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down, he sure did, to Egypt to dwell there. You got to watch this now. The father of faith is going to struggle with unbelief right here. Because whenever there's a great call on your life, listen to this, seniors and you guys going to college, God has great things for you, but there will be famines and trials and tests. Dr. Jewel said it last week, there'll be heat that will come. Sometimes we think when I get a calling, I'm on easy street. No. You're on bumpy road when you get a calling. And God will use these tests in order to mature us and grow our faith in him. Why? What's up? Because when the famine struck, Abram didn't pray. He did his thing and went down into Egypt trying to figure this thing out. Everywhere else we see him praying. He's building altars, talking to God, building altars. But right here, he doesn't build an altar. And listen, every time Abraham doesn't pray, he makes bad decisions and ends up in a mess. He didn't pray about Hagar. When Sarah was like, oh, I can't have a child, take my maidservant. He didn't go to the altar. He said, okay, she fine. Okay. Don't you get in trouble when you don't seek God? When you step out in front of him, lag behind him, start making stuff up. Abram made some stuff up. I'm going to go down into Egypt and figure this out because of the famine. God gave you a promise for the land of Canaan. You should have gone back to him and said, God, this is your calling. I'm your man. Help me during this famine. And if God said go down to Egypt, you go because God said, but you stepped out on your own. And when he went down there, he then had to lie. Now he lied. He said, now look here, baby. You so fine and everything. You 65, but still got it going on. And when they see you, they might kill me if they know I'm your husband in order to get you. So why don't you say it to my sister? See what happens when you stop walking with God and you make stuff up on your own? Now you're lying and being deceitful. And then she says, okay, baby. She follows her husband. And Pharaoh's dudes are like, Pharaoh, we saw a honey out here. So they get her, bring her to Pharaoh. And then after a while, Pharaoh has to come back to Abram. Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? You said she was your sister. He lied. But I love this. My man got out of step, but God stepped in to get the walk of intimacy engaged again. Look at verse 17. But the Lord. He went into Egypt, messing up, lying. But the Lord. Now, don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. When he goes off the track of walking with God, doing his own thing, God still blesses him in his mess because Pharaoh gave him riches and servants and all kind of stuff. So when he got found out that he was lying, Pharaoh said, man, get out of here and take all your stuff with you. So he comes up out of a season of disobedience, more blessed than how he went into it. I'm not telling you, don't take that path now. God is good. Don't you dare try to say, I'm going to be disobedient so I can be blessed by grace. It just so happened that God says, I'm still going to be good to you when you're not being good to me. And that ought to make you say, I'm going to walk in repentance because he's been so good to me. He didn't have to, but he did. So I'm going to do right because I want to, because he blessed me anyhow. And I love how chapter 13 starts. Then Abram went up from Egypt. Now he's back on path, walking with God again. But he got off path. Anybody ever got off path before? Anybody ever just let go of his hand and say, I got this? We got people now walking away from Jesus because of what some church did or what some other Christians did. They said, I'm letting go of Jesus' hand. But those of us who know, when you're holding hands with Jesus, he's really holding you. You may try to let go of him, but he ain't letting go of you. And at some point, you'll start walking more intimately with him again. And you'll start end up walking intimately with his people. But God wants us to walk with him. He will do his part. I will, I will, I will, I will. Will you do your part and depart? He had to leave his father's house in order to really know God as a father. Some of you young people are really going to get to know God because your parents aren't going to be there telling you to read your Bible. They're not going to be there telling you to go to church. And now your relationship with God is going to go to a whole nother level simply because you left mom and dad's house. Or we're going to find out you never had a relationship with God to begin with. You had religion. I hope that's not the case for you. I hope you really love Jesus for yourself. But when you get on that campus and they're talking evolution and they're talking this and they're talking that and your faith is going to be tested, I hope you press in closer to God. Tighter to God in your walk. And that we don't look up and see you over here shipwrecked saying, I don't believe in God no more. I pray that's not. Walk close with him because he wants to walk close with you. Be in step with God. Be in step with God. One of the first things, any military people in here? Any military people? Raise your hand, military. Military people. One of the first things they teach you in the military is how to walk. That's one of the first things they teach you. Because they know if you can't walk right, you won't fight right. If you can't follow instructions with a platoon, a battalion, to follow a sergeant or a drill master, if you can't stay in step, we can't trust you when the bullets start flying. So we're going to walk, we're going to march until you get it. And there's a cadence that the drill sergeant, that the commanding officer gives so that those behind him or her will stay in step. Left, 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 right, left, 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 right and left, right and left, two, three, right and left. You got to be back there. You can't be back there. You can't be back there making up stuff. You can't be back there just lagging behind. You can't go out there and say, let me get in front of the drill master. He don't really know what he's doing. No, you stay behind the person who's in legitimate authority and you listen to them because they're leading the walk. They're leading the march. And what we do is we stay in step. Left, 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 right, left, right, left, two, three, right, left. I wonder how many people here today, when the Lord says, left, 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 we're making stuff up. I hope we stand in step. I hope we're listening. I hope we got eyes on him, trusting him by faith. Lord, I don't know where you're taking me to, but as long as you're leading, I'm going. It don't make sense. I can't figure it out, but you're leading me somewhere through a valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because you're with me. Let's pray. Father God, it's not easy to walk with you because sometimes, a lot of times, we want to do what we want. We lack faith. We lean on our own understanding. You got to come rescue us out of some ditches and out of some mess. And you're so faithful. You know how to get us back into the perfect will of God when we step off the trail. You're a good God. Help us to get close to you. Because, Lord, one thing we know about you, it's not even the final destination that you're concerned with the most. It's the journey. It's walking with you and talking with you. The destination will come. That's not the ultimate goal. The goal is being intimate, as we say, just to be close to you. That's our desire. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed God, to the cross that thou died upon. It's the intimacy in the walk that you're after. Lord, before we get up in the morning and surf our phones, before we get up in the morning and do this, that, and the other, help us, Lord, to bow our knees to the God of heaven and say, thank you for another day. You are the source. I want to walk with you. I'm intentional today. I'm making up my mind to stay close to you. Lord, give me your word. What do you want to say to my heart today? And if I can't get it in the morning, Lord, I'm going to talk to you at night. If I can't get it at night, I'm going to talk to you in the noonday. Because if you're not speaking, I can't walk right. I know you're speaking, but am I listening? Am I being intentional? God, do a work. Again, thank you for every graduate. Bless them in their going out, as you bless them in their coming in. Bless them in the field. Bless them in the class. Bless them on the roads. Bless them in every way. And we thank you that we got to witness what we saw with our eyes and felt with our heart. You're a good God, and we want to stay in step with you. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet now? Amen. We won't give an altar call today, but I bet if I did, I said, can somebody come who you've been out of step with God? You know you need to get back in step. I know there would be someone who would come. If I said, is there anyone here today who needs to walk with God for the first time? You've never been born again. You've never been saved. I have a feeling someone would come. And so in the interest of time, but also understanding eternity, if that's you, say, Jesus, I want to walk with you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for initiating a relationship, because anything you feel in your heart to want to get towards God is him coming to you. You respond and say, yes, Lord. And then come tell somebody. You come tell me that today you said, I want to walk with Jesus for the first time. I want him to be my Lord. You come tell me after church, I'll start shouting. I hope I don't scare you, but just come tell me. And if there's somebody who says, you know what, I want to walk with this group of people in this church that's doing their best to walk with Jesus, to hold on to the one that's holding on to them. You come talk to my wife, Pastor Belonging, after this. I need a church home. I need encouragement, as Elder Sherman said the other night, and accountability. May this be the place. Let's look to heaven. Now unto him. Now unto him. Now unto him. It's all about him. Now unto him who's able to do stuff we can't. And he does it exceedingly. He does it abundantly above anything we could ever ask or imagine. And then he has given us some power on the day of Pentecost that's working in us. To this God be all of the glory, all of the majesty, all of the dominion and the power right now, because we know it's going to happen forevermore. And we're going to say, amen. Amen. Would you turn and greet about three people before you roll? Greet about three folks before you roll out of the house.